Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News. I'm late. I know I'm late. It was, you know, a week. It was one of those weeks, and I just couldn't do it. My daughter got sick, and it was like she, usually when she gets sick, I have to find out via a fever, right? Or just I can... You know, symptoms I can see. In this case, she actually told me that her throat was hurting, and that means it's serious because she never tells me because she thinks it's going to mean she has to take medicine, and she hates to take medicine. And yes, I've tried all the flavors, you know, banana, grape, whatever, berry, like I bubble gum, I've done it all, chewables, liquid, everything. So, it was one of those weeks. Anyway, so here I am on Saturday, May the 4th. So my apologies to you. I know it's a strange thing maybe to release a podcast on a Saturday evening, but this was the soonest I could get it out to you. And listen, better late than never. So before we start, please rate, review, and subscribe. Nice reviews, please. It means the world to me, helps with, you know, helps me grow the show. And if you're on Instagram, you know, share. However, I'm having some issues with Canva, so I don't know if I'm going to have a post up for this episode on my Instagram. I'm going to try to get it together, but I'm just having trouble getting back into my account where I have all my designs and stuff saved. So it's very annoying. I'm still able to do, you know, I logged in under a different account just so I could still do my Twitter roundups. But even those I'm behind on because, you know, I'm trying to like download the animated posts, like the ones that have GIFs or little videos, and it just kept crashing and crashing. But I think I figured it out. So my apologies, because I'm also now behind on my Twitter roundups because of that. So I just was able to finish the Summer House Martha's Vineyard one today. The Valley and Summer House are coming. Okay. And oh, my God, do I have a lot of opinions on this week's Summer House. I think it's going to be a multi-part roundup. We'll just say that. If you're interested in more of my thoughts on Summer House, I am recapping the Summer House after show on my Patreon. It's patreon.com/BravoandBotox. It's a monthly, I charge monthly, so it's not like by episode. $5 a month and you get an extra episode a week. And usually I go over, like right now, since the Valley and Vanderpump Rules are on, I go over thoughts on the Valley, Vanderpump Rules, and, you know, like not just what's going on the show, but maybe stuff that they're saying online, you know, and it's not repeat, you know, repetitive of what I say on these news episodes. Like it'll be other stuff. And then I'll also do the after show recap. And then once, you know, the Housewives shows start, I'll, whatever topics may fall into my lap, I'll go over. All right. So again, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. It really means the world to me that people listen to this podcast. I haven't done one of these speeches in a while, and I just wanted to because, you know, I'm on Reddit. I go on Instagram. I go on Twitter. I'm, you know, the only place I'm not is TikTok because I just don't have TikTok. And I don't know if there's another one I'm forgetting. I guess I don't have like a Facebook, but I don't know. Do people use that? I don't know. But, you know, when I see sometimes like Bravo and Botox mentioned or people recommending it, you know, on any of these platforms, or they're adding me and like asking me a question or, you know, giving me suggestions or whatever. Like it's just, it means so much and I love it. And I definitely love it. And sometimes I'm like, oh, should I keep going with the podcast and with everything? Because sometimes it can be a lot. You know, especially because I do have a full-time job and I do have a daughter and all that kind of stuff. But I haven't gotten to the point where I've wanted to stop or where I've even felt like, you know, I'm just going to take this off my plate. I just don't want to. I enjoy it. I enjoy like interacting with the audience and just everything about it. If anything, I wish I didn't have to work my other job and that I could do this one more, or I could work my other job less and do this one more. You know, that's kind of the long-term goal. So keep on climbing. All right. So let's get into what you're actually here for, which is the news. We're going to start with Vanderpump Rules, obviously, because there's so much happening with this show. And listen, we are in the Great Housewives drought of 2024, as Twitter is calling it. I mean, I saw one person call it that, but I agree with them. And it's kind of made me realize like how much I value having a housewives show on, because as much as I love Vanderpump Rules, Valley, Summer House, like all the quote unquote young people type of shows, they just don't have that, you know, je ne sais quoi that the housewives shows have. Those like, I don't know. I can't put my finger on what it is, but they just don't have it. And I'm glad New Jersey's coming back, but, you know, New Jersey can also be kind of stressful, but we'll get into that later. So let's talk about Ariana and her lawyers responding to Rachel's lawsuit, because that is a pretty big thing. So let me read through some of it here. So Ariana's lawyers and Ariana have responded to Rachel's lawsuit, obviously, in case you didn't hear that. Okay, so she acknowledges that she's the defendant in this action. And basically she goes over and describes in detail the night in question. And she talks about how she was in a relationship with Tom and says, while playing, Mr. Sandoval's phone fell from his pocket and a mutual friend handed it to me. Because we'd been in a committed relationship for so long and because we trusted one another and presumably did not keep secrets from one another, I knew many of Mr. Sandoval's passcodes, including the one for his phone. I had previously accessed Mr. Sandoval's phone on other occasions with his knowledge and consent. For reasons I still do not know, call it a woman's intuition, when the set ended, I felt the need to check Mr. Sandoval's phone and went to the women's room for privacy. In a locked stall, I accessed Mr. Sandoval's phone and saw text conversations between Mr. Sandoval and plaintiff that appeared incomplete because portions of them had been deleted, which made me suspicious. While other women waited to use the toilet, I opened the phone app on Mr. Sandoval's phone and was shocked to find a video of a FaceTime call between Mr. Sandoval and plaintiff that showed Mr. Sandoval's face in the upper corner while the main image was of the plaintiff masturbating. I hurriedly took out my own phone and made two recordings of the FaceTime video. Prior to that moment, I considered plaintiff a friend and did not know that she and Mr. Sandoval were having an affair. I left the bathroom and walked up to Mr. Sandoval, who asked if I wanted to go into the alley for a cigarette. Okay, so I'm just going to pause for a sec before we go to the next page. So listen, I know we know a lot of this stuff, but one of the reasons I want to read it is because it is consistent. It is consistent with everything that Ariana has said from the beginning. Okay. She has not changed her story. She has never changed her story. Whereas Sandoval and Rachel have changed their stories multiple times, whether it's them on a podcast with Howie Mandel or Bethany, and then there's slight differences in their lawsuits and in other interviews, you know, and then I can things they've said on or in confessionals, whereas Ariana's has stayed the same. Okay, so that's just one thing that I think is important. There was nothing I read in here that I had not heard from Ariana, nor were there any new or stark differences between, you know, what she says in this this reply, lawsuit, whatever, back to Rachel. Okay. The other thing is that she says, where was I? Oh yeah, she says that it was a FaceTime call. So that does support, you know, Rachel's claims against Sandoval, because Sandoval was trying to say it was like, I don't know. He was trying to say it was something else. Like, he was trying to say it was a video that was sent to him and that he saved it, which, sorry, Tom, but no. Okay, so Ariana says, in the alley, I confronted Mr. Sandoval, about his affair with plaintiff, concerned that people might overhear us. Mr. Sandoval tried to move me away from the club. Of course, he was still like trying to save this, right? He never wanted to be the like the villain guy that was having this affair. Like, this is not, you know, he wanted the clean breakup and to still be like a fan favorite. That was what he wanted. We all know that. Around the same time, so as Sandoval was moving her away from the club, or around that time, she sent the videos that she recorded to herself. Oh, wait, I sent the video I recorded to plaintiff. Sorry, along with a text message, "You're dead to me." A true and correct copy of a screenshot. A screenshot of that message is attached here too as exhibit one. So she attached in the exhibit her text to Rachel saying, "You're dead to me." And it shows that she texted Rachel the video. Okay. "I did not send the videos to anyone else, nor did I share, display, or show the videos to anyone else. To be clear, I only saw the video of plaintiff masturbating in places secluded from others, i.e. alone in the bathroom stall and in the alley with Mr. Sandoval." Okay, I think that is important to say. A heated argument ensued between me and Mr. Sandoval, and Mr. Sandoval forcibly grabbed my phone from my hands, causing my credit cards and driver's licenses to fall to the pavement. I quickly grabbed my cards off the pavement and chased after Mr. Sandoval, who had further distanced himself from the club. By the time I caught up to him, Mr. Sandoval had deleted from my phone the videos I had recorded of the FaceTime video. Mr. Sandoval also deleted the videos from the recently deleted folder on my phone. Of course he would do this. This makes complete sense because Sandoval doesn't want Ariana to have proof because he is such a narcissist and he still thinks he can wiggle his way out of this. And he also still thinks that he can lie his way out of this. But if she has evidence, he can't, right? So he's, you know, he's going to delete it, of course. Okay, so Mr. Sandoval also deleted the videos from recently deleted folder. Minutes later, I texted one of my friends, Logan Cochran, about what had happened, stating I called her plaintiff after finding out and texting her the videos of herself from Tom's phone that I took. Tom took my phone and deleted them. I chased him all the way down San Vicente. True and correct copies of screenshots I took of those messages are attached here too as exhibit two. So yeah, we heard about this, how she had sent these before when Rachel sent the cease and desist. So like Ariana had already offered up her phone and offered up all this stuff in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised too if she obviously kept copies of all this, and because you never know, right? Especially after you know she's sending out a cease and desist. So after, and I know this is before that she, you know, saved the screenshots or whatever, but she just had it. So after learning about the affair, I began informing my family and other close friends about plaintiff's affair with Mr. Sandoval, including how I learned about it by discovering the text and the FaceTime video on Mr. Sandoval's phone. Okay, and then she says, you know, I declare under penalty of perjury, et cetera, that this is all true and correct. Okay, then there are copies of the text because those had to be put into the motion. So we mostly know, we know this, but we see the like, "You're dead to me." Ariana, I don't know what to say right now. Besides, I really fucked up and I'm so, so sorry. Shut the fuck up, you fucking rat. Okay. And then Levis's lawyer has responded and says the only thing more laughable than Ariana's motion is her fairy tale account of how she discovered the relationship from Tom's phone. Okay. I don't know why it's a fairy tale account. Like, Rachel was not there. She wasn't there. No one who is close to Rachel or who is like in Rachel's quote unquote camp was there either. So it's like she keeps kind of making these claims that this isn't how Ariana found out about the affair and this isn't true. Ariana has maintained this story from the beginning. There is also video footage of Ariana from the show that night. And I believe that there's video footage that somebody took and she's holding his phone in it, if I remember correctly. There's also the fact that that same night is the night where Rachel says that allegedly Sheena punched her after finding this out and getting the text or whatever it was from Ariana. And Sheena and Raquel were together after Watch What Happens Live. And this was all the same night. So, like, the facts, it all lines up and makes sense with Ariana's version. And again, it's consistent. The consistent stories that make the most sense logically are usually the true ones. So, like, I don't care how much of an ego, you know, this lawyer has, and I understand he's doing his job, but this fairy tale account, like, get out of here. Meanwhile, we look forwarding to cross-examining, blah, blah, blah. We have irrefutable evidence that the videos were distributed. Do you? Because I've been hearing this for so long from Rachel and her lawyers. So we have yet to see it. Where is it? Where is this irrefutable evidence? And Ariana has literally offered up her phone for forensic analysis. So if there was irrefutable evidence, then why has she been so cooperative? I mean, I guess there could be, she's being cooperative so she doesn't look guilty if we want to go into, you know, conspiracy theories, but I just don't see that. Okay, so that's that. A little bit of a dud in terms of, you know, Raquel. Listen, Raquel's mad. She's mad because she can't take the loss. She ended up being the villain and she didn't get to be the star of the show. And, you know, I could go on for another 17 hours about all her sort of salty feelings from this. Again, does she have the right to sue Tom Sandoval? 100%. 1,000 gajillion percent. And I hope he gets some sort of punishment for this. I hope he has to pay. I hope he gets some sort of legal action or justice of some kind because he recorded it. And he shouldn't have done that. And it's illegal. And if Ariana did this mistakenly, you know, distributing revenge porn or whatever it is, if she technically did that, you know, by sending the video to Raquel herself, then I don't know, maybe she has to pay a fine. I don't know. But either way, Raquel, she's just trying to punish Ariana. She has some level of hatred for this woman. It's like a combination of envy, jealousy, but also hatred. It's like she wants to be her, but she also hates her. I don't know. It's a weird thing. Listen, I am obviously on Ariana's side in this scenario. And, you know, I do think that Ariana could not have shared it with anyone because Sandoval clearly deleted it from her phone within minutes of Ariana confronting him. And that is the most important thing. Okay. And this is stated in writing, right? Literally 33 minutes after she sent the video to Raquel, she states in writing to her friend that it was deleted by Tom. And if it didn't make sense for some reason in some alternate universe as to why, you know, Tom would delete it, that'd be one thing, but it does make sense. It makes complete sense why he would delete it. So that's why I'm just like, you know, girl, bye. Okay. So some other Vanderpump Rules news that has come to my attention this week. Let's start with, there's been some podcast stuff that's been going on that's kind of like, you know, got some interesting tidbits in it. So Sheena, on her podcast Shenanigans, says that people just don't understand that she was just doing what she had to do when she had conversations with Sandoval on the show. So I guess she's trying to say maybe what production was requiring her to do. She also says, you know, it hurt watching the show back and seeing the faces of that Ariana and Katie made towards her. I don't know what she's talking about because I watched the show and I see the faces. I know exactly what faces she's talking about. But here's the thing. Ariana and Katie have made those faces to Sheena's face. Like, the first one is when they're on the FaceTime with Sheena and she's calling them about, and she makes the comment of like, I can't keep hating him for you. She's literally on a FaceTime with them. So, and they do make faces, but like you saw it, it wasn't behind your back unless you just really weren't, unless you're just looking at yourself in the FaceTime screen, which I could see Sheena doing, but that's her own fault. So the other thing is that they're making faces when she's talking to Lala in that group scene from last week's episode where they're talking about, you know, how Sandoval apologized and they said that they miss each other or whatever the hell that was. Again, she was right. Yes. Were they making faces? Yes. But like Ariana was sitting right there in front of you. It wasn't behind your back. Like, it's like Sheena is the one who has been making snide comments and little like jabs behind people's back, especially Ariana. So sorry, I'm not feeling much sympathy for you, especially when she basically just admitted in this podcast interview or clip, whatever, she basically just admitted that, you know, she did what she had to do. So she admitted that she's selling out her friend and her loyalty to her friend to be a producer puppet. Okay, that's what you said. Sheena also said the things that she is saying in front of Ariana on the show are things that she wouldn't normally say in front of her, but she does because that's her job. Okay, so I guess there's two ways that I'm interpreting this. Either she's being extremely honest to like a hurtful point because she feels like she has to when it comes to Ariana, or I guess the other thing, you know, like, okay, sorry, let me kind of finish that thought up. Like, she's sort of trying to say that, you know, I'm being kind of brutally honest with my friend, even though some of the things that I'm saying might hurt her, because that's sort of our job on the show, is to kind of like confront people with things that you might not normally confront them with. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that she's saying things that she, I guess, producers are sort of pushing her to say, even though she doesn't really want to say them. Either way, it kind of reads like Sheena doesn't have much of a spine. And like, I think your job on this show is, yes, to maybe talk about things with your friends that you'd normally maybe just sweep under the rug and all that. That I agree with. Yes. Because there's times on these shows where it's like, you know, they get into a conflict about something stupid. And it, in real life, maybe it would have been something you just let go of. And inside, it annoys you about your friend. But since you're on TV, you got to bring it up. That I can get. However, it seems like in this case, it's more like maybe Sheena like changing her opinions or like having certain opinions just because she thinks that's what's good for the show. I don't know. That's how it feels to me. And it's giving like they wouldn't have gone along with it. Sheena and Lala, are they, by the way, they wouldn't have gone along with it if they didn't believe that the audience was going to be on their side. I really think that they thought for sure the audience was going to turn on Ariana. And that's why they kind of agreed to it. Because not only were they like, okay, it's going to make good drama for the show, you know, we're like low key kind of jealous of Ariana and how, you know, she got cheated on and now she's like God all of a sudden. And then on the other side, it's like, well, we can also hate on Ariana and the audience is going to be with us because everyone's getting sick of her. But then that didn't work out. And now they're both pissed. And that's it. Okay. Okay. So I think there was one more thing I had from that. Oh, yes. Sheena also says Brittany. Okay. So she weighs in on the whole Brittany and Jax of it all. So she says that Brittany was the breadwinner during the pandemic, because Brittany said this recently. And she said that Jax kind of had an issue with her making more money than him, which I could see because it's Jax. And Brittany also said something you know, something along the lines of like, oh, Jax would get upset when she made more money than him, which is so annoying and stupid and just so Jax. Sheena called out Jax basically for his treatment towards her on the show. And then she made a comment like, you know, bring me on season two. And she says that Brock is the one person that can put Jax in his place, which I believe 0%. That is not true. First of all, when the Valley first started, I have to admit, I was kind of like, ooh, it would be fun to have like Sheena and Brock on this. And, you know, because they're a natural part of the friend group, they have kids, whatever, they are moving to the Valley, same as Lala, she's going to have another baby. Like, I was kind of like down for that. But now that I've, and that was like, at that point, I'd seen maybe like two episodes of the Valley. And we were still earlier in the Vanderpump Rules season. But now that time has gone on, more of the Valley has aired. I think the cast is perfect. Do I like them all? No, they're all kind of terrible, except Nia and Danny. But they're perfect. They're perfect in their, I don't know, horribleness. It's like, you know what I mean? They're the perfect toxic friend group. And I actually kind of think now that I don't want anyone from Vanderpump Rules going on that show. They're going to ruin it. They're going to bring the inauthentic sort of like, I don't know, trying to do what they think the audience might want instead of like just being themselves and being natural and et cetera. And they're going to ruin it. Like, I don't want them on the show. I think it'll ruin it. I think we have a good cast. They have good chemistry. They have like, you know, authentic, messy issues. And I don't want to bring the rest of these people in. Also, do I believe Brock is going to be the one to stand up to Jax? No, he's going to come in and be Jax's little like bestie. Like, hey, bro, like he's going to be like that. Just like he is with Sandoval. We thought he was going to help us hate on Sandoval. He was pretending like he was going to be. And is he? No. So get out of here, Sheena. Okay. So what was the other thing? Oh, yeah. I think the other podcast that I had some news on was more in relation to the Valley. So I'll get to that when we get to the Valley. But we have more about Vanderpump Rules. So it's going on pause. It's not going to resume filming this summer. The Valley will, though. Yay. And listen, it's because the Valley's doing well. It's the Valley's good. It doesn't need a pause. The cast doesn't need a break. I'm sure Lala and Sheena are pissed. Let's be honest. Especially Lala. Lala always gets kind of screwed out of storylines. Like the first time she had a baby, you know, it was like pandemic. And then it was still kind of like, you know, between seasons when everything went down with Randall. And then by the time we got back, like no one really cared. I don't think no one ever really cared that much in the first place. Cause like, you know, it was Rand and everyone knew this was going to happen, but still no, people cared even less by the time the show started filming again. So there's that. And then now she is having a baby, you know, with a sperm donor and all that. And she's like going to have another kid on her own. And there's all this aspect to it. And none of it is going to be filmed. None of it's going to be filmed. Sorry. I'm sorry. Like I have to laugh because it's kind of her karma in this case, because she's being really annoying about all this, not about her baby. She's being annoying about Ariana and just the fans and this season. Like she's just, it didn't work out for her and she's having a little temper tantrum. Okay. Do I think it's probably better for her though, like mentally, physically, to not be on film and not have to deal with like the audience and reactions and all that kind of stuff, you know, while she's pregnant and all that? Yes, it's probably better. Okay. And I think the audience needs a little bit of a break because Vanderpump Rules has been a lot. Like I know they were like desperate to get this next season out because they wanted to keep riding the Scandoval wave. They totally played it wrong. It blew up in their face. But, you know, that being said, we all just kind of need a break from it. And there's potential, I think, if the cast does have a rest. And I think they need it. I think it was really a smart move But again, I think Lala and Sheena are going to be pissed, which is why Sheena's like, put me on the Valley. Put me on season two of the Valley. Brock is the only one who can stand up to Jax. No, I don't think so. Have you seen Kristen Doty? I think she can stand up to Jax pretty good. Okay, so where was I? Watch What Happens Live. So Ariana and Katie were on Watch What Happens Live, and I loved it. It was a great episode. And just a few tidbits from that. They said that they think Sheena is a better friend to Sandoval than to Ariana. Okay. Agreed. I'm sure Sheena's not going to like that. But anyways, they also said, okay, so everybody on Twitter was like, Andy scolded Ariana for not watching the whole season before the reunion. Then I watched it and I was like, oh, I got to see this. And I was like, he does not scold her. I'm sorry. He was just like, shouldn't you watch the season before the reunion? Like, he said it with like a smile on his face. And listen, I'm not like an Andy apologist. And he sometimes can be rude and out of line with guests. I didn't think he was with this. And she was like, I was on Broadway. Like, I was trying to stay focused. And like, I thought he was pretty understanding of that. But a lot of people were mad about that. I didn't see it as scolding. I just saw it as kind of a sarcastic, like, aren't you supposed to watch it before you do the reunion? Like, I saw it as kind of like a teasing joke. But anyways, I guess it's up to interpretation. But Ariana also said in the Watch What Happens Live interview that she was surprised by a lot of the things that Sheena has said, like the backup dancer comment, for example, and that she is catching up on it. And then when asked who profited the most off of Scandoval next to Ariana, they both agreed Lala, which is funny because Lala seems to be the one that's like, well, her and Sheena, but she seems to be the one, sorry, that's, you know, why is Ariana getting this, that, the other? Da, da, da. You're getting a lot too, Lala. And in case you feel like sitting through, you know, 27 minutes of torture or whatever it is, Jax and Sandoval will be on an upcoming episode of Watch What Happens Live. God help us. Listen, I don't want to watch it because I don't want to give them the ratings. There's going to be clips all over the internet after, which I will be watching every single one of those. I'm probably going to watch it like a couple days after it airs, you know, on Hey You or whatever, because, you know, I do this. But let's not give them the ratings or give it to them. Who cares, actually? We're giving the shows the ratings. What the hell does it matter? Okay, so I don't know how many people are going to be able to stomach them. I'm sure there'll be some entertaining moments. I think mostly from Jax. I think Sandoval's just going to be annoying. So Sheena and Brock also say that because they have a lot to say on their podcast, but they, well, on Sheena's podcast, they say that the vibes between them and Sheena, Ariana, have changed a lot since the reunion. So, you know, obviously things were said and, you know, I'm sure there were disagreements, etc. They said they went to see her in Chicago, but it wasn't, you know, like it used to be. Yeah, that's because of you, Sheena. That's because you're acting like an asshole and you're showing your jealousy and you seemingly are not happy for your friend. Sheena also discusses, you know, the mom guilt that she had leaving her daughter for Coachella and Broadway. And, you know, she kind of implies like, oh, she went all the way to New York to see Ariana on Broadway and left her daughter. And then Ariana didn't give her the time of day. Well, that's not Ariana's job. That was your choice. And, you know, if you're having mom guilt and you're feeling guilty about something, that's no one else's responsibility but you. It's not Ariana or anyone else's job to make you feel less guilty about something. If you feel guilty, that's something that maybe you need to deal with or have therapy for or whatever. A lot of moms have that. Mom guilt is very natural. I get it all the time. I usually just try to tell it to shut up because, you know, I know it comes from like patriarchal society, always telling moms that we're not enough. And, but again, it's not like other people's fault and I can't put it on other people. And Sheena needs to just kind of grow up and own that. Like, it's not, don't blame Ariana. The vibes are bad between you guys because you've been talking shit. Okay. It's not Ariana's job to come and kiss your feet because you decided to come see her on Broadway and leave your daughter with a babysitter. I mean, really, if Sheena really wanted to bring her kid, she could have. She could have brought her kid and her mom and put them up in a hotel with her, and her mom could have watched her kid while they went to the performance. Like, there are ways to work it out. People travel with their kids all the time. I've done it. Is it ideal? Sorry. No, but it's doable. Okay, so Allie also says that there was tension between Ariana and Sheena at Coachella. I can't remember where she said that. I think it was on Watch What Happens Live. So yeah, it seems like things just are not good between those two. Brock also says that he regrets bringing up Rachel's name on the beach when they were all out together, you know, at that beach day or whatever, but felt he needed to be the antagonist to get the conversations going. Okay. Also, he said, you know, Sheena has just been like putting herself out there all season, and now the audience is calling her selfish. Well, that's because when Sheena's version of putting herself out there is being selfish, because Sheena is inherently selfish. Like, do I think Sheena's like a narcissist the way Tom Sandoval is? No. But I do think she's the most self-involved person on the show. Like, she's just very self-involved. I don't know what else to say. And she still doesn't realize that. That's why people don't like her and call her selfish. It's not like he's like, oh, people aren't appreciating that she's being honest and like putting her emotions out there. No, we see that. It's just that her emotions are all about her and they never take into consideration other people's feelings. That's really it. And if she is taking into consideration someone's feelings, it's like the worst person, like Sandoval. It's a man who she's making excuses for. So yeah, she's going to get criticized for that. Rachel, meanwhile, has a new man, single dad, Matthew Dunn. A lot of jokes going around about whether he was single when she met him or not. Apparently he was. Apparently he is also MAGA. He's a big, Trump guy. So do I care that much about this? No. Imagine being his ex, though. It's like you get divorced from your husband and suddenly your husband's new girlfriend is Rachel. Imagine she ends up marrying the guy and then like, this, kids, your stepmom's here, and you have to like co-parent with her. Okay, let's go to the Valley before I get too down this hole. Jax was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner with Britney, and his interviews on the red carpet, I mean, they were hilarious. Not intentionally, but they're just trying to ask him about like politics, about like, you know, global issues, things from the news. And he's like, I don't watch the news. He's like, don't ask me about politics. I don't watch the news. I don't know anything about politics. It was just funny. It's like you're at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And you're like, I don't watch politics. I don't know anything about politics. I don't watch the news. Don't ask me about it. Oh, God. Is that just like, does that give people hope for U.S. politics when they see Jax and Britney there? I mean, I get it. It's like NBC. It's like their new big show right now. Like, I get it. But Jax, his ego must be, I mean, maybe he learned his lesson from letting his ego fly away a little too much when the last time he was on Vanderpump Rules, but I don't know. I think it's all going to come back and it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger. I mean, look at stuff happening between him and Britney, and like, it's already happening. So Jesse from the Valley does have a new girlfriend. Her name is Lacey Nicole. And he also decided that he was going to come after Lala on social media. Basically, he posted a picture of himself working out and he wrote, when, and he tags her, when at Lala Kent says you have narrow shoulders and no neck, LOL. Also, the average height in the US is 5'6 for men and I'm 5'10 and a half. Okay. So basically on the after show, Lala made a comment about like Jesse has short men syndrome or something like that. Yeah, like little man syndrome, I think she called it. And maybe it was something about like his shoulders being narrow or whatever the case was. So that's what he's referring to. And then he's like, well, I'm 5'10 and a half, which is he? Like 5'10 and a half is not short. Like, it's not like the tallest guy, but it's not like the shortest guy either. He looks a lot shorter to me. Like every time I've seen him, I don't know. Maybe it's just because that scene, that like quote unquote fight scene on the valley. Maybe it's because he was against Luke and Luke's really tall and Kristen's pretty tall and he looks short in comparison. But then even when I've seen him on like red carpets with like women who are shorter, like he looks kind of short, which is fine. I don't even care. But I'm just like, are you, or is he lying? I feel like he's fudging a little bit. I feel like he's exaggerating. Like, I feel like maybe he's a little under that. I don't know. Especially the, who puts 5'10 and a half? You know, it's like 5'10.3 and he's like rounding it up. I'm 5'10 and a half or something. Okay. One more thing about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Brittany says she feels confident that they're getting a reunion. However, Kristen has confirmed now on her podcast that they are not getting a reunion for the Valley, which is a travesty, actually. Like, what the hell, Bravo, if you're listening, which you're not. But what? Same thing with Summer House Martha's Vineyard season one. It was so good the first season. They should have had a reunion. It was a big mistake, I think. Even the way season two is playing out, to me, it would have been better if they'd had a reunion. And I mean, the only way I can forgive this, I guess, is they need to start filming like straight away and maybe like pick off where they left off. And then it'll be like an epic season two reunion. But I feel cheated. And the ratings are so good. Like, I can understand if they had like ratings that were good for a first season show. Maybe those are good for a first season show, but not good enough for a reunion. But they have ratings that are good for like a show that's in five seasons. So they need a reunion. It's not too late to change it, Bravo, in my opinion. Okay, so Zach was on Brittany's podcast when reality hits and says the producers were interviewing the Valley cast for apparently 2 years before they started filming. Jax was always kind of like making little implications about like coming back or something. Zach says he and Kristen did a lot of interviews together because he actually was prepared to donate his sperm to Kristen if she wanted a baby. Which, I mean, that's really nice of him. And that's a big thing to do for someone, especially because like you're gonna know it's your kid and you're gonna be watching your friend raise it. Or maybe they were gonna raise it together. I don't know. But Brittany says Zach was going to be Kristen's like quote unquote baby daddy, but then she met Luke was basically what happened. So that was one tidbit. The other was that Brittany confirmed that Katie did reach out to her after she announced that she was separating from Jax, which makes sense because Katie mentioned on the after show Vanderpump Rules that she was upset when Brittany did not reach out to her when she got divorced from Schwartz. And I did see that on the Watch What Happens Live episode with Katie and Ariana, that Katie mentions that she did reach out to Brittany because she knows what it feels like to get divorced. So I feel like it was a little bit of a dig. Like, even though you pissed me off, I'm still going to text you about your divorce because that's what friends do, Brittany. I could see that. Brittany says it meant a lot to her because she loves Katie. She said she did respond to Katie's message, but hasn't gotten a reply. And she hopes that this could be the start of them kind of like talking and coming back together. I hope so, too. Like, they were really good friends, and I feel like they stopped being friends for not any really good reason, and a lot of it's because of Jax, and that's not a good reason. So, Brittany also said that she is kind of getting, like, mixed signals from Jax, and, you know, they had the plan to have baby number two at the end of the summer, and then Jax kind of blindsided her when he was, like, changing his mind about that. And she said, basically, no matter what, Cruz is getting a sibling. She said them opening the bar so quickly, though, did impact their plans. So, yeah. All right. And let me see, was there anything else for the Valley? No, I think we're good. Okay, so let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We haven't talked about that in a while. Well, not like a while. It just hasn't been the star of the weekly news episodes because obviously because it's over right now. But okay, Kyle, once again on an Amazon Live, confirms that she cannot confirm if she's coming back to Beverly Hills for a new season. We know you're coming back, Kyle. Like, Kyle will die on this show. Not saying I want Kyle to die. I mean, like, she'll be like 98 years old lady on this show. I just don't think she's, as long as this show is on, Kyle will be there. I really think that every year she does this. I might eat these words later, but every year she does this like, I don't know, this could be my last year. You know, she does this every single season. She did it last season. She did it the one before. She always does it. However, she's coming back. Okay. She always says she can't confirm and then it gets confirmed later. Like, Kyle knows how the PR machine works and she works it. There's also a leaked story that's been going around, basically that Bravo is saying, or producers of Beverly Hills are saying, that Kyle can't come back unless she shares her relationship with Morgan Wade. I don't believe that at all, because I just don't believe that. Kyle has never had to share anything that she didn't want to share for basically forever. So I don't see them suddenly changing their mind and like giving her some type of like ultimatum. They're not giving Kyle Richards an ultimatum. Okay. The other reason I don't believe this is because 2 seconds later, or like the next day, we get a leaked story saying that Dorit can't come back unless she shares her issues with PK. And that, you know, allegedly he's staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel and he's moved out of their house. These stories came out back to back. So let's stop and think about that for a second. That probably means that Dorit maybe put that story out about Kyle. And then I bet you Kyle wanted revenge and put the story out about Dorit. Honestly, I would not be surprised. They left on bad terms. The two of them are both salty towards each other. And, you know, that's, I could see Dorit leaking that story or just like giving it to Daily Mail or whoever it went to and being like, oh, this is what's happening. Kyle won't share her relationship, so why do I have to share mine, or vice versa, or whatever? Okay. Now, the other option is that, I don't know, maybe like Bravo put it out because they're trying to like push them to share this stuff while they're filming. There's that. I don't know. But either way, I don't think that these are fact. Like, maybe there's a little bit of truth to them, especially the Dorit one. But I'm not believing these like at face value. So apparently, so a source has responded though to the Dorit one and says that PK has not moved out and that they're happy. No one believes that. I don't think. At least I don't. Meanwhile, Mauricio purchases a luxury condo and has moved out of the family home. He bought a condo in a building where Matt Damon also has a unit, an $8.6 million unit. So these are nice condos. Let's, you know, believe you me. Does anyone really care about this? I don't know, because it was on social media. I saw the story floating around, but it was getting hardly any attention and no one seems to care. And once again, it's because Kyle, like she did with this entire storyline. I know it's not a storyline, it's her real divorce, but you know what I mean? She wanted it to be this big thing. She just handled it so poorly. And now it's at the point that we've been so oversaturated with it that it's like no one even cares. Okay. Apparently, and this source also says that divorce is not something that Kyle and Mauricio are considering because it's just too messy financially and Kyle has a huge stake in the agency. It makes sense. Like, I could see that they're just going to be not together, but technically married. I could see that. Also in relation to Kyle, her oldest daughter, Farah, was burglarized. Everyone is okay, but had $1 million worth of jewelry stolen. Ooh, so a lot and crazy. I can't even imagine having $1 million worth of jewelry, but anyways. but we are glad that she and anyone else who resides in the home is okay. Obviously, the most important thing, and I would assume the jewelry is insured. Another last little tidbit about Beverly Hills is that Kyle has removed Umansky from her Instagram, and she is now just Kyle Richards. Again, I saw the story floating around for like a couple hours, and it's like people are over it. So there's that. In Real Housewives of Potomac news, Kiarna Stewart has allegedly snagged a last-minute RHOP contract. So we know her because she came on as a friend of in this most recent season, and she was the one who was hurt in the fight with what's her name, Deborah, the one who Candace calls Sesame Street. And she was at the reunion for a bit and people liked her and she was liked. I wasn't sure if I felt like she should be a full-timer friend of, but I don't know. We're going to see. We'll see. You never know. Honestly, I wasn't like, ooh, she's so amazing. She has to be full-time. But I also didn't think she was like not great as well. I was just kind of like, okay, she's good. She could work, but she could not. So I think it's just going to be one of those things. We just have to see. I don't know why they're even rushing into filming Real Housewives of Potomac. Like, if anyone needs a break and a reset, it's Potomac. Like, why is Vanderpump Rules knowing that and making that decision? And Potomac is acting like they didn't just have the biggest mess of a season of life and just going forward. Okay. We also have Stacey Rush joining Real Housewives of Potomac for season 9 as a full-time housewife. Remember, casting rumors are, you got to take them with a grain of salt because sometimes we hear things and then stuff happens during filming and somebody could get demoted and things can change. But she is a morning host, a self-proclaimed shopaholic, which, whatever, I feel like a lot of the housewives call themselves that. She's a health and wellness queen. I'm not sure what that means. Either maybe she has a business or something to do with health and wellness, or she just likes it. It could be either one. She's also married and a mom. And by the way, Wendy was also at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which makes sense because Wendy has been a political commentator, has like degrees in relation to politics, is actually intelligent. So that makes sense, unlike Jax and Brittany. Not that I'm saying Jax and Brittany aren't intelligent. They're just, okay, whatever. We saw what Jax said when he was asked about news and politics, but she did take a picture with Jax and Brittany. And I was like, there you go. We got different facets of Bravo world coming together at the White House Correspondents. And listen, no matter who it is, I'm happy to see Bravo represented. I mean, I want obviously Wendy to be there because it makes sense. But I guess I'm still happy to see Jax and Brittany there, even though they don't know anything about politics. Okay, let's talk about Summer House. Whew, Summer House is having such a good season. Lindsay says, I just want to say this because this was another thing that people were talking about on social media, on Twitter, and I feel like we're completely misrepresenting. Like, I saw somebody saying like, oh, Lindsay confirmed on Watch What Happens Live that it was her idea that Kyle be a flower boy. And so see, and I was like, okay, we always knew that. Like, it was more about who said Kyle cannot be a groomsman. It's not about who said he should be a flower boy. It was like the demotion thing is what people were mad about, I guess. So I watched the episode with Lindsay and she says it was not her idea for Kyle to not be a groomsman. Okay. So it was Carl's idea. Like, who else's idea was it? And again, it makes sense. Kyle hates the bride and he's just recently been in a big fight with her, called her a bitch. And on top of that, he's had a big fight with Kyle over the last year and they weren't getting along. So it was Carl's idea that Kyle would not be a groomsman. It was Lindsay's idea to have him a flower boy so he wouldn't be left out. I actually think Lindsay was the one who actually thought more about Kyle's feelings. And I know people might be like, oh, the flower boy thing, it's like embarrassing. It's a thing. Like, look it up on TikTok. Like, it is a thing. People do it. And to be honest, it really suits Kyle's personality. And the fact that it's not him alone, it would be him doing it with like Andrea and like they would be so funny. Like, I don't think it was, I don't know. I just don't think it was this evil thing that people are trying to make it out to be. I also like, and I'm not even mad at Carl for not wanting Kyle as a groomsman. I kind of get that. Like, sometimes you have a lot of really close friends and you don't have to pay someone back. I'm sorry, but I've had people, I've seen a lot of cases where somebody's in one person's wedding and they're in the other person's wedding in like not as big of a role. Like, that happens. It's not always like tit for tat. So on the two judgy girls post, they put up a post basically commenting on like Carl's conversation with his mom and stepdad. And they said, what do you think of Carl's convo with his family? And Lindsay replied, and she said, he should go gardening. So obviously she's trying to say he's like planting seeds, quote unquote, in terms of like the breakup, which, listen, if you watch this week's episode and you still think it's like 100% Lindsay's fault, then I think you just have like a bias at this point against Lindsay. Or like you just want it to be her fault because you hate her so much. Like, she does have fault in this breakup and in this relationship not going well. She totally does. But Carl does too. Like, you cannot watch this week's episode and not see somebody who is not being fully honest, straightforward, and, you know, dealing with the situation the way that it should be dealt with. And yeah. So just like trying to be objective. Me trying to be objective is what I mean. Okay. Okay. Let's go on to Real Housewives of Miami. So Alexia opens up about her divorce from Todd. She says, basically, okay, so she did like, you know, her podcast with Marisol and she talks about it and you can really tell that she was really blindsided. Like, it's really sad. She doesn't like, you can tell she did not see this coming. I really felt bad for her. She's, and it, like, this is not like fake Sandoval type of tears. Like, this woman is hurt. Like, she is really hurt. And no matter how you feel about her, you'll feel bad if you watch it, if you have a heart. She opens up about the divorce and she said, like, it's been shocking. I cry a lot. You know, she's blindsided. She really thought that things were okay. She implies that there might, maybe there's still a chance for them to fix things. She still loves him. Like, oh, it was really heartbreaking. They haven't even been married that long. Like, listen, I want her to be happy. I don't think it's going to be with this guy. I've always gotten weird vibes from Todd. Like, I didn't think he was like the worst, like Real Housewives husband we've seen, because obviously there's a lot of really bad ones out there. But you could just tell last season something was off. And I just feel like he was kind of distancing himself from her and not maybe being honest about it, which is just not cool, especially when you're married. Okay, so in Salt Lake City news, Monica Garcia has sadly suffered a miscarriage. And so she did share with all of us her pregnancy on social media. And she did share this as well, basically saying that she promised she would be open and that she had kind of made a promise to herself that when she started the reality TV journey, she was going to be honest with the audience and share her life. So she did share it, you know, that she went to a sonogram or update, sorry, and was told that there was no heartbeat. So we are very sad for Monica and send her our love and thoughts. Next, we have a little bit of news about Whitney. And we haven't had a lot of Salt Lake City news, but, you know, the season is filming. So things are kind of, or it's coming to an end to filming. So things are sort of stirring up. Allegedly, Whitney is filing for divorce from her husband, Justin, and did mention or floated the idea, I guess, in some kind of like implied way while they were filming on camera, but has generally been quote unquote playing coy about it. But apparently, Meredith Marks brought it up on camera and Whitney is furious. So that is the tea. I don't know if it's true. This is not verified tea, by the way. But you know I bring you all the gossip tea and facts. And, you know, some of the gossip and tea are not always going to be facts. But we watch Bravo because we like gossip, right? Right. So last thing, reality reckoning. Brandy said in an interview that she's sad that Bravo hung her out to dry and go through all the stuff that she had to go through before they said something to vindicate her. So if you don't remember, Bravo basically said that they've reviewed the footage and they see that she was, I can't remember the word they used, if it was like offensive, rude or something like that to Carolyn, but that it was not sexual assault. Listen, and then Brandy was kind of mad because like she felt like no one was talking about it and it wasn't getting a lot of press. And she was like, oh, I guess no one cares unless it's like something salacious. I don't think that that was it. I think people didn't care because people didn't necessarily believe that. Like, of course, Bravo and executive producers at Bravo are going to say it wasn't sexual assault because they don't want that attached to their show. That looks very bad. That's bad press, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? On the other side, I think a lot of people still don't. Like, I think not on the other side, but I think people just don't trust it. Like, I think people still think this happened and people still want to wait until there's some type of evidence or whatever before they start saying like a victim is lying, because that's a big thing to say. And if you read Caroline's statement, it's quite detailed and it sounds pretty bad. So, you know, and I'm in that camp too. Like, I'm reluctant to be like, oh, the victim just made the whole thing up. Like, I don't want to go there. And if they did, it will come out. And I'm, you know, and I will be sorry that Brandy has had to go through all this if none of it is true. But we just don't know yet. And a Bravo executive is going to be a biased person in this case. So, and listen, if it is all a lie and Caroline did lie about it all, Brandy should be pissed. And she should sue Bravo for a lot. She should sue them for all her emotional distress and all the money she could have made that she didn't make because they withheld, et cetera, et cetera. And she would, you know, she would be right about that if that's the case. But again, we just don't know yet. So, yeah. And as of now, you know, I don't know why Caroline would make all this up. Like, that doesn't make sense. Here's the other thing. Even if she did make it all up, I can understand why people believe her, because, you know, it's not just like the believing victims things. It's also that Brandy has kind of a history of this sort of inappropriate behavior with people on camera while drunk. This is not the first time. Let's be real. Okay. Okay. So again, my apologies for the late episode, but thank you so much, everyone, for, you know, your patience. Even if maybe you weren't patient, for just understanding and for listening and being a supporter and a listener. I appreciate you all so much. Thank you. And you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next time.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.